Hi, HR Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives for the world's leading global brands. Today, we're joined by Lauren Gomez, Vice President of HR Spanish LATAM at Experian. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Chris. So happy to be here with you.
So excited to have you. Your first Colombian guest. It only took us 300 episodes to get there. I'm sorry it took us so long as well. But how are you? How are things on your end?
Great. The first, but not the last. I am absolutely sure.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I love the books behind you, by the way. Have you read all of those?
Really? Yeah, not all, but I am trying to do it.
Yeah, I always ask the guests
that. It's an inspiration to do it.
Before we go any further, tell everyone a little bit more about yourself personally and your background and sort of journey to where we are now.
As you mentioned it before, I am from Colombia. I am from a city in the north that is Barranquilla. Don't try to pronounce it.
So no way.
Don't try it.
Has anyone you've ever asked been able to pronounce that? Let's be honest. Has anyone outside of Colombia could pronounce that correctly?
Don't try to do it. But yes, I come from a family with my single mom. We are only my mom and I. She is a doctor. So she has been a great influence for me. Everybody told that maybe I would be a doctor also, but I learned from her, maybe not to be a doctor, but how to help other people. So always my dream was to try to do something around that, about how to help people and to be happy at the same time by myself. So after that, when I decided to go to study a business administration in Bogota, in the capital, in Bogota City. So I studied business administration. I started my career in a pharmaceutical in Pfizer in Colombia. And then I decided, and this is very important, I decided to come back after like 8 years living in Bogota. I decided to come back to Barranquilla, to my city, to be some time with my mom. And during a holiday, I met my husband, and that is why I decided stay in Barranquilla and don't go back to Bogota.
Nice.
So that is important to mention.
So you met your husband when you was visiting back home?
Yes.
Oh, nice. And then you're like, okay, I'm staying.
Yes.
Amazing.
I quit my job. I quit everything. And
really?
And I stay in Barranquilla. Yes.
Wow. He must be a special man.
Yes, thanks God.
It worked out. Yeah, it worked out well.
After 12 years, I can say that it was the best decision that I made. And that is why my career then start or move forward my career to that city. And I've been always, always working in human resources.
So when did the first role happen? How did that happen?
It was for a retail company with a national presence in Colombia. And it was very special for me. That is like a break point in my career because I started like human resources chief or generalist with a generalist role. Mm-hmm. I remember that I mentioned to you before that I started my career working in a conflict zone.
Yes.
In Colombia.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is important to mention. Yeah.
It's important to mention. Because it was, as I mentioned, something very special for me because all the realities or different realities that I had to face there. And I deeply understand how we as HR leaders, we can have a real huge impact in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Because I had to face difficult situations because, for example, one day to arrive to have a normal day and to open the store and receive a call from an employee to say, okay, last night I arrived to my home and I found all my family killed and I only took my clothes and I had to take a bus to go to another city. Please, Lauren, please, boss, try to find me a place to stay. in that city because I took the first bus that I found. So you can imagine, and that is another meaning about how to be a strong mind and how to be able to be productive under pressure.
That's a whole other level.
At the same time, exactly, another level. It's like another point of reference for your life, for your entire life. It's like to have a different level about what a problem means and how you as HR leader can support a person.
When you're literally dealing with life and death situations.
Literally.
And you were very early in your career as well, right? So that must have been even more difficult and pretty much overwhelming at times, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And at the same time, I was pregnant in that moment because I have a son. So it was like, maybe it's not the best way to establish pregnancy.
But the thing is about that, right? And it's obviously terrible, but your level of resilience now, you know, when people were saying, oh, this is really bad, this is terrible, you're like, really? Like, you don't know what hard looks like. You know, I think that's the good thing. Like, at the time, it doesn't feel that way. And it's obviously terrible to hear these things. But on the other side, you come out so much stronger. One of the things I was really interested about talking to you about, given your role and the fact we've never had anyone on the show from Colombia, is your perspective from a cultural standpoint, which is, you know, very different. Obviously, you have a global footprint as a company and experience, but the way you experience things in Colombia, you know, very different to in America or the UK. And I'd love to understand more like how you deal having a global kind of policies or business plan, but executing that within your own area with the cultural nuances and differences.
Oh my God. Now that you say that, I am aware of the challenge. Now that you describe it. Okay. No, you know, first, I think one ingredient is the mindset. I think that mindset is the first ingredient to have in consideration. And it sounds like easy, but it's not. But it maybe is the most challenging part because it's easier to say, okay, I'm from Colombia. You need to learn from me. And I think it's not which one is the winner. I think that someone in this role, you need to be like a bridge, not a broken bridge. It's like a bridge, just to clarify, allowed to be open and to be conscious about, okay, there is a global culture. This is a global company, not a Colombian company. Mm-hmm. This is a global culture. I don't need to define that culture because it's already clear. There is an already experienced way, as we call it, our values. And I need, at the same time, in the other side of the bridge, to understand and to be authentic and to really understand my local reality, to be able to translate that global culture and that global situation and our culture to our local reality. It's like, okay, how to define your behaviors here at the same time that you are linked with the global reality. It sounds easy, but it's not, because you need to be absolutely open to do it, and in terms of your mindset about how to translate your values, but don't sacrifice anything. I mean, don't sacrifice your local reality, because it's a reality, and that is the value, because we are different. That is to be inclusive and to be diverse, is like to really understand that we have everything to offer to other regions, but at the same time to understand that we are not alone in the world, and there is another way to do it. There is another way to think, to express, to communicate, and it's like to be open and to translate and to be respectful about two sides.
Yeah, many companies that I speak to, they really struggle when expanding and setting up operations in Latin America. What are some of the mistakes that you see companies making?
Yes. Unfortunately, maybe it's because, for example, if you are only another company and you try to expand your business in Latin America and you don't try to understand our reality and our culture and our behaviors, how we really like to express to ourselves and how we communicate. And you only try to, okay, I arrive. You need to understand me. And it's not about sides communication. So maybe it's not the best way to do it. But if you, maybe it's not the best way and not, maybe you will not have a good reception. But if you, okay, what is the value that you can give me? And this is the value I can give you. It's like above a relationship from both sides. That is my recommendation.
How do you do that though? That's great. Yes. Give me an example of how you think it would be good for me to communicate with people across Colombia, for example.
A good example, but just to give you an example, in Colombia, we are very warm, close. We really like to touch.
Yeah.
We are so cheap.
Touchy-feely.
We are exactly. The way to demonstrate is like, we really like to demonstrate everything. Like, we don't have restrictions. It's like, we are friends from everybody. We feel like we are familiar with everybody. Mm-hmm. If I meet you, we like to hug you, kiss you, and I am absolutely aware that we can be absolutely overwhelming for other cultures. Absolutely overwhelming. So yes, we talk a lot. We are very passionate. That is our way. And my first recommendation is like to read. We have Google. You can read about it. You can try to learn more about it and to understand that there isn't any bad intention from our side to be in this way. This is the way that we feel, mm-hmm. that this is the way that we express ourselves. But at the same time, for example, someone in my role need to at the same time to understand that not everybody is like me.
Yeah.
Exactly. And to be honest, that not to be in the same way, not to be touch bold and not to be so close, it's not bad.
How do you do that now, especially with COVID?
I feel
with COVID, no one can hug and kiss each other now.
Is the worst example about social distancing.
Yeah.
We are
it's like
it's maybe it's not easy.
Yeah, because I went to school with some Colombian friends and they are like exactly how you describe. I can't imagine them doing much social distancing as well. So I'm sure it's going to be pretty difficult to be able to do that. What about the marketplace? How well known is Experian in the marketplace? Do they have much brand awareness, Experian as a brand?
Yes, it depends because we have presence in 5 different countries in Latin America, mm-hmm. in Mexico, Colombia, Peru, Argentina, and Chile. And it's interesting because at the same time, everybody outside Latin America think that all Latin people are the same. Mm-hmm. And we know that we are different. Among Latin America, we are different. It's absolutely different a market or a marketplace or a culture in Mexico than mm-hmm. in Argentina, just to give an example. So that is my work. It's like to be aware that depending on the market, we have different business, different awareness about our market or our brand in the market. But at the end, we are one experience culture. That is my goal. And that is my role. And at least it's like to connect 5 different countries under one umbrella that is Experian Way and that is the Experian culture. Not matter the office that you will be seat or working or the country that you are being part, at the end, you are Experian. And something that I say is that there is something that is not negotiable and is the way that you do it. You can have different ways to communicate, the different ways to be to have the approach, but at the end, it's not negotiable the way that you need to do the things to keep growing in your career. Not only what you need to do is how you do it.
Yeah, and I remember when we first spoke, you said that you traveled across all the different countries to see everyone face to face. Explain it. Tell everyone a bit more about how that went.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers.
2/3 of employees have 1 foot out the door in 2024. And the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
How you did it?
Yes, before pandemic, obviously.
Yeah.
just to clarify, because we are in lockdown. But yes, and this is another example about how you need to understand the culture and to start that engagement with people. And we really like it face to face. Obviously, now we have to find another way to do it. But it's like to create trust, to create confidence with people about human resources. We are an area that we are here and we understand your language, your reality, your daily basis, and that is the way that I use to do it and to meet people. And it was more about to be present there, to be there. Not only like to say, okay, you are from Colombia, you only need to be in Colombia. It's like, I am from Colombia, of course, and I am so proud of that. But at the same time, I am the same vice president for the people that is living in Mexico, or if you are living in Chile. Mm-hmm. We don't have distance in terms of human resources, HR, or the culture. There is not any kind of borders. Yeah. We are the same, and we are the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no surprise then. The best way for you to then communicate and bring everyone together was going to see them face to face, because culturally that's how you are, right? That's how you, it, otherwise it's just, they're not going to kind of getting an email or a newsletter. It's not going to build much trust amongst people, right? Whereas seeing you there, you're not just sitting in the head office somewhere communicating from an ivory tower. They see you face to face and they can express concerns, etc. And feel like their voice is heard.
Yes, but you know, Chris, at the same time, we need to, as I mentioned before, in this role, I am like a bridge with two sides. But at the same time, I need to learn how to express with other global teams. And that is another challenge, because at the same time, we need to learn and to be more aware about how to slow down, how to control our passionate, how to demonstrate passionate for our work. Is only a challenge, but we need to understand that at the end, that is a benefit. Because if you have a bigger bridge, you can be more able and more flexible to receive, and at the same time to give them visibility from your market and from your talent. And I am absolutely sure that we have great talent that we deserve to export to other regions, because we have great talent and hard-worker people here. Yeah. And this is like only an example that if I can be here with you, speaking in English, in addition with you, that you know that is my challenge. Everybody can do it.
Yeah, but, and that's another point. When we first spoke, you took time out to teach yourself English, right? And yes. How long have you been speaking English now for? Because not only
2 years.
Oh yeah, only 2 years, which, like, is amazing. Honestly, the fact is, I can't, and I love the fact that when you told me, I said, what's the secret? You was like, Netflix. There you go, everyone. If you want to learn how to...
Don't say that. Oh, my God.
No, but you're laughing, but so many people that I know say the same thing. It's watching TV with the subtitles, with whatever language you want to learn. It's one of the best ways of doing it, because you're unconsciously learning it. Like, you're watching it, you're consuming it, and you're learning at the same time. So, and it's free. Technically, it's not free, but you already have a subscription, so why not? So, and you get to watch some TV. So it's amazing that you've done that. What made you make the decision to say, I'm going to learn? Because obviously you waited so long, and now all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to learn how to speak English. You did it in 2 years, which is unbelievable.
Because I wanted to keep growing in my career. And of course, I say, okay, if I want to keep growing and I want to have a regional
or a global remit, or a global, yeah.
Okay, I don't have a global position.
That's the next one. After you keep growing.
Crossing fingers, no, that is my dream, but at least a regional position. Mm-hmm. And of course, I need to speak English. And I say, okay, and I was obsessed because I say, I cannot accept that I cannot reach that level only because I don't speak English. And I get obsessed and I say, like, I will do it. Because remember that maybe in the past I didn't have the possibility, the economical possibility to pay for an English training. So I couldn't do it before. So I say, like, I will do it. And I say, like, I will not buy again a book in Spanish. And I don't read a book in Spanish. And I say, I will only buy English books in English until that day that I really understand the 100%. So yeah. I'm really obsessed. And that is another trick. And Netflix.
So that's until I spoke with you, at no point did that even cross my mind that there's a barrier to entry. And we take that for granted, right? People that speak English speaking countries, that for you, it literally is a barrier for you, for your career progression, that you can't speak English. So we don't, you know, people in the UK, North America, any English speaking country, we don't even think about that. You know, for us, it's just, that's what it is. But there's, you know, people like yourself, that's a very clear and real barrier to your career growth as well, which I never thought about, to be honest, until you mentioned it as well.
It's more than you think. It's more than you think because, I mean, to be honest, and this is true, there's more people like me that cannot pay for an English training than people with an economical situation to born knowing speaking mm-hmm. English. I mean, this is our reality, and we don't need to hide that. You know, maybe that is another invitation for Latin American HR leaders, if they are seeing this, is that we always say, like, okay, this is easy for Chris because he born in UK, but it's difficult for me. I mean, I say, like, I hope so that this program and this podcast is an example and inspiration for others, not because of me. It's because if I could do it, you can do it. Whoever can do it. I mean, yeah. It's not only the place that you're born, is that the challenges and the borders that you create for yourself. Mm. And there is no borders. There is not anything impossible. You can do it. But it's more hard work, more hours, more sacrifice. Yes, it's a big lie if I say, like, okay, it's easy. I only get a sleep and I wake up speaking English. No, obviously, I need to invest more time, spend more hours, it's more difficult. Yes, you need to do it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do it, you can do it. Yeah. I mean.
Well, you proved it. You did it in 2 years. So unbelievable.
Three years.
Oh, it's 3 years. Yes. Okay, still.
Almost. Yes.
It's pretty amazing. Like, I would never have guessed that. I would think you've been speaking English for a long time.
Yes, but you know, at the same time, in that moment, I think that I mentioned it to you, that in some moment I say, okay, I will not stop my career only because I don't speak English. But at the same time, I say, like, okay, I don't care if I start to speak English with mistakes.
Oh, yeah, that's because what you said. Yeah, it's true. You said people don't speak until they think it's perfect. Whereas you, like, the quicker you start speaking it, yes, you're going to make mistakes, but then you can progress quicker, basically. Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yes. And to understand that at the end, my message will arrive in all the people that prefer to understand my message and not only taking and pointing out all the mistakes. No, I hope so. But the reality is that I meet a lot of people that maybe prefer to point out all the mistakes but they prefer don't understand the message. And the message is the challenge. The mm-hmm. message is that we are not perfect. The message is that even if you are a VP, even if you are a vice president, you don't know everything. No, we don't know everything. We are not perfect. We are human beings.
It's interesting you say that, because it's not like you're the first person from Latin America I've invited on the show. It's just most of them say no because they're worried about their English being bad. Whereas you just took the opposite approach and said, well, let's just do it anyway. And it's fine, right? And as you said, not everyone's perfect, like, and to be able to do it. And this is just another step of your growth of being on a podcast, an English podcast now, that you can say, here you go. That's another thing there, which is pretty cool that you did that as well. So I think that's great advice. Another thing you mentioned during our call, which was our first call, which was interesting, is the mindset of a HR practitioner in Latin America. And for example, you said that, for example, our summit that we have and the podcast that many, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so please explain exactly how you said it, that many kind of your peers would say, oh, that doesn't apply to us. Now, what Chris is talking about and what all of these CHROs from these global brands are talking about, that's all well and good, but we can't do that. Is that fair, the way I just said that? I feel like he was...
It's not fair, but it's true, unfortunately, because sometimes, because it's easier to say like, okay, it doesn't apply for me, because you prefer to say that and not to think how to take that and to make it apply to you. That is harder, you know, because maybe the easiest part is to say, oh, okay, it's easier for Chris because he lives in UK. Oh, it doesn't apply for me. Oh, okay, that is harder for me, of course. And we feel like a podcast, like a summit, like this kind of podcast. It's like so far, and it doesn't apply for you because we have a different situation here. I am not saying that our situation is not different. Obviously, that is easy to know. But at the end, we need to be over that any circumstances. I mean, in despite of everything, you are able to take that and to make a better yourself. I mean, a better version of you. So it's like your own decision. And I think like, okay, you only have two possibilities: to feel that is far away from you, or the second possibility, and never change, or the second possibility is, okay, that is so far from me, but what can I improve? How can I improve myself? What can I take and to apply for me? And not only for me, it's for my region. But at the same time, if you as a regional leader, if you don't have an open mindset, you can be a bottleneck for the rest of the region, because we are responsible for the entire region, for 5 different countries. I am responsible for that. So the challenge is not only for me. It's the challenge is for the rest of the people that I represent, you know, because they will be expecting to receive an HR strategy for me that can be locally or that can have a worldwide footprint. Yeah. So you need to understand that in this position, you are not only responsible for yourself, you are responsible for different talents and for people that deserve to receive a better strategy to keep growing at the same time.
Yeah. What helps you then move from just a local mindset to a global? Because, you know, you, as you said, you attend summits based outside of obviously the region, US, UK, like ours. Obviously, we have a global focus for our summit, but, you know, it's mainly English speaking, etc. Was there a particular moment or trigger that said to you, I need to focus more than just looking at a local mindset? Was
you
it
know,
your career progression?
Moment,
obviously, I'm sure your career progression is part of it, of course.
Yes. One was my career progression, but not only because of that, because when I arrived to this company, I was not looking for a position like this, to be honest. It was like I was always thinking about not only give to my employees the 100%, 200. I don't know what happens in my brain, but when I face a challenge, or when I receive like a goal, I don't understand 100. I understand at least 150.
Can you explain that? Can you explain that to my wife, please? She
yeah. and to my husband, but at the same time, and I am absolutely proud of that, because remember that he is my primary care in my family. I am the one that he is at home taking care of my son and me, and I am the one that is that is working, and I am so proud of that. And diversity, at least, is not only because of your race or your gender. It's like different kind of families. It's like a lot of time someone asks me, okay, what is your family and your husband? And a lot of people wait to hear like, okay, he's a CEO, international company. And I say, no, I am here because he is at home taking care of me. And people is like surprised. And that is another example why diversity is not the same for all the regions. Mm. Maybe in our region,
especially,
we have a different challenge.
I would say, especially in your region, where culturally and more traditionally, the men go out on work, women stay at home, more so from what I understand from the friends I have from the region, even more so, there's a stigma attached. Is that fair to say?
It's true. The macho men exist. Mm. The macho society exists. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is why that is another example. And you were asking me about one example about thinking globally and leading regionally. It's like, okay, to understand that exists in experience a diversity and inclusion strategy, absolutely clear. But at the same time, to be able, what is our local challenge and what is the challenge and what is the ingredient that I need to include in my diversity and inclusion strategy to really generate a change in my company. And as I mentioned before, it's maybe the age that I have. Maybe I am younger versus the average for someone in my position in my region, maybe to be responsible for my family since I was 27 years old, to be vice president since I was 34. It's more like to be able to use it yourself with bads and goods, like to face that change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, a bit random, but if you're happy to share, how did your, was it challenging for your husband to be a stay-at-home dad?
Oh my God, am I alive? Thanks God. Yes. Yes.
I want to talk about it because there's a number of CHROs and HR executives I speak to, and their partners are stay-at-home dads. We don't really talk about that much, but it can't be easy, I'm sure.
Really difficult, Chris. For my father-in-law, mother-in-law, you can imagine that generation in Colombia, and a small town, it was like harder than maybe other countries or city or big cities. For them was really hard because he left his business, everything, his family, to be with me and to follow me in different cities and in Colombia. But at the end, is why you do it.
Yeah,
I think that makes all the difference. Why you do it? Because only for a career or for a family? And my career is not my goal. My family is my goal. My career is another way to be happy and to offer to my family a different future. But he is the one that owns my career because I will be working until that day that he will be with me. That day that we will say, I will not be at home waiting for you or being with you. Sorry, but I will leave everything. That is the difference. Why you do it?
Yeah.
Because of your career or your family. And at least in my case, I do it for my family.
Yeah. What advice would you give to other people that are listening that perhaps are considering that as an option for their family?
One is like to have absolutely clarity about why you will do it. Secondly, is to don't sacrifice your values. And to please have absolutely clarity, be clear about what is not negotiable for you. Have that clarity.
With each other, as a couple, like on either side?
Exactly. As a couple. As a couple. Because if you want to be with someone, it's not only...
There's no point that one person being miserable. One person's miserable over here, another person's, you know, they may resent the other partner if that's the case, if you're not clear about that.
Exactly. And at the end, I don't know if in your case that you have a daughter, but at the end is the sum of both goals, because our goal is our son. It's not him. It's not me. It's my son.
100%.
It's our son.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's not what is good or what is bad for you. At the end, when we need to make a decision, is what is good for him. Mm-hmm. That is my son. Because at this age, we are the result of our decisions. We already made a career. We already decide something. We are the result of that. But he is starting his life, and we are building that.
Isn't it interesting that when you become a parent, that's something that no one ever speaks about, or you read in a book, that when you become a parent, your decision is no longer about Chris, right? Up until that point, everything in your life, for the whole of your life, has been about you and your choices. And then as soon as that little person comes into your world, every choice you make is now about them, right? And that was a shift. Absolutely. That I wasn't really ready for. And I was like, oh, wow. So every decision-making, all the decisions you make, it's not about you anymore. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can be tired when I used to keep working and visiting different countries each week. You can imagine, I was sleeping in the airport. I was only going to coming back to Colombia during weekends, and the next Monday go to Mexico, and then I'm going. You can imagine how tired. But at the end, that Friday night, when I arrived home, he was at the door waiting for me. And you need to forget that. And you know, when you really love your work, but at the same time you love your family, you don't feel that like a sacrifice. To be honest, and I want to be respectful, when you hear that people that say, I love my work, or the sacrifice to start earlier. I mean, if you really love something, there's no sacrifices. If you really love, and there's not a perfect company, because there is a perfect human beings. But at least I can say that I really love my company. I love experience, because here I could reach my goal as professionally. I mean, my goal, my disposition, without sacrifice anything.
Yeah,
that is why I really love my company. And that is why I love experience.
It's also a matter of perspective, right? Because friends and family members of mine say, oh, Chris, you work too hard, because I'm working like a lot. And they're like, to me, it's not working hard, because I'm enjoying it. So if I'm going to come in on the weekend and do a podcast, or stay late and do some editing, I'm having fun whilst I'm doing that. So to other people, it's like you're sacrificing, you're working too hard. But that's because they may not enjoy their job. So they see it as work, you know, whereas it's like, well, this is what I enjoy doing. So you may be at home watching TV, and but I'm here doing this, and you call it work. I call it my hobby. I just so happen to get paid for it, which is great. So yeah.
And in this position, maybe if you have a meeting, I mean, time difference. A lot of time I had to take a call at 4 a.m. in Colombia, because in UK it was like 10 a.m. Yes, but I accept, because I say, okay, I'm not okay. It needs to be at 2 p.m. for me, and the difference, the sacrifice needs to be for you. No, it's not about to put more effort. It's about to have a common convenience for everybody.
Yeah. How long have you been in this role now?
Almost 3 years.
3 years.
And I am absolutely in love, as you can see.
Yeah. What is it you love the most about your role?
About to be able to create opportunities for the people in my region, thanks to my role, and thanks to that capacity to link my region with the world.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it.
Yeah. And have those opportunities now expanded because of the digital workforce, i.e. roles are no longer defined by a location and an office?
Mm-hmm.
Is that even furthered your ability to help people and connect that?
Yes, but at the same time, we need to understand in Latin America that we need to be prepared for that, because only a new digital tool is not enough. Because people say, okay, now we can work from home and we can connect virtually. Yes, but if you don't speak English.
That's true. Oh, yeah, of course.
Or if you don't develop your skills, or if you don't keep learning or developing your skills, or if you don't have a global mindset, or if you don't change your leadership style, Teams, Zoom will not do it.
That's a good point. Even more so, right? That's something people don't really talk about much, where you have a global business. There is definitely, it's not inclusive at all. Because, you know, we again, if you speak English, you don't even notice, you don't realize the impact. But if English isn't your first language and you are on this company meeting, this fully in English, you know, that people aren't even thinking about those aspects of it as well. So we've definitely got a lot of work to do before we get to that stage.
Yes. But Chris, at the same time, we have a lot to offer, because for us, resilience is that in despite of any difficulty that we have, we are happy. For example, in Latin America, people say, like, you are so happy. Why? You have a lot of problems.
That's true.
And we say, life. Yes, that is diversity and that is inclusion, that we learn how to be happy in despite of everything. Because yes, we have different difficult situations and economical, social, and violence stories. Yes, it's true. But we learn how to be happy in despite of that.
Yeah, that is something. Some of the people in regions, countries that have been through the biggest hardships seem to be outside of that, obviously not during the conflicts, obviously. When they come out the other end, they don't take life for granted. And they enjoy every moment, right? Where when you're living in an environment where nothing's going wrong and we haven't had the hardships, you kind of take it for granted. And I think that's culturally why we're not as, you know, touchy-feely, happy, huggy. as well. So, yeah. Look, before I let you go, I want to jump into our quick fire round. So I'm going to ask you 5 questions and you have no longer than 30 seconds to give us some amazing answers. Are you ready?
Amazing answers. Oh my God.
Yeah, 200.
I'm in English. Don't pressure.
Yeah. What was the number one thing that was holding you back from becoming a vice president of HR? What's the biggest challenge?
Of fear or lack of confidence because of the language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great answer. Fear of failure is always number one on there. I think we all experience that at some point. What's the best piece of business advice someone's ever given you?
You have one pair of eyes to look for everybody, but you have thousands of pair of eyes looking at you. You need to be an example for them.
Ooh, that's a good one. I know you love books, so I know it's going to be even harder. What's a book or some books, because you love books, that you'd recommend to our audience and why? It doesn't have to be HR related.
The Diary of Anne Frank. I really like it.
Why do you recommend that one?
Oh, how to try to live your life normally, even all the violence or the situations that surround you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Viktor Frank, that is my favorite author. Mm-hmm. The Man Looking for Sense.
Yeah.
I really love Viktor Frankl, and I strongly, obviously, differences in life, but I strongly identify with them even more now.
Amazing. Well, I'll definitely put them in the description, everyone. How would your family describe what you do for a living?
My husband say, talk every day. To talk every day and to solve problems every day, all day.
Yeah. What about, how old your son?
Nine
years. How do you think he would describe what mommy does for a living?
Writing in the computer all day without time to watch cartoon with me.
Oh, that is, sounds like Robin.
He said that.
Yeah, that's something, yes. Robin will probably say. What are some kind of online resources you use to stay up to date with current events or news? Is there any particular, or social media? What's your go-to platforms?
I really like it. LinkedIn. This is the way that we met.
That's true. It's true. Even all the way in Colombia and here all in the UK, LinkedIn, we're here. And now we're doing a podcast together. So
this is an example.
Yeah. No, I say it to people all the time. I'd say like probably 90% of the podcasts or, you know, of the 300 episodes just probably came through a LinkedIn connection. And it doesn't cost anything. So if you're listening now, there's people all over the world that would be happy to speak with you. If you're in challenges, reach out to HR leaders in your local community or even globally. You can learn so much. And then last question, you know, we kind of obviously asked you about your role, but what about the business? What's one thing about the business that you're most excited about?
Be able to create opportunities through data. That is our core business.
Yeah, and you are a data. That is your business. Yeah.
That is my business, the data. But not only own the data, it's like to create business or create opportunities for the society through that data.
Yeah.
I really love it.
And then last question, because we kind of touched on it earlier. I know I've done way more than five at this point, but what advice would you give to other Latin American HR practitioners that are out there?
Don't create your own boundaries, because a lot of time we create more boundaries than necessaries. Please, we already have enough boundaries. So don't create more. Don't create more. Don't create more. Waste time or to put more effort is like to how to banish those boundaries more than create new ones.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure. I'm so happy we made it happen as well. And so many unique insights from this episode as well. So I really appreciate it. For anyone listening that wants to reach out to you, where's the best place for them to connect? I'm sure they can already guess, but where's the place they can connect with you?
LinkedIn. Yeah. I'm always connected. Please, LinkedIn. Yeah. You can add me.
Yeah.
You can connect with me through LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of LinkedIn requests off the back of the show.
Not so much. I don't think so.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. And
I'd be surprised.
For everyone listening, you know, please like, comment, share, tag a friend, share the episode if you're listening to the podcast. Subscribe if you're not already subscribed. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the next episode. But thanks so much for your time. I'll speak to you again soon.
Bye. Happy to see you. Bye, Chris.
Bye.